Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Today's program is essentially dinner and a movie. We start with pizza, and that cries out, "Bite me!" And that, coincidentally, is the name of the movie by Naomi McDougall Jones, whose TED Talk about being a woman in Hollywood went viral before the Me Too movement, and she joins us later in the program. But first, we welcome back an old friend, Johnson & Wales chef on assignment, Peter Reinhardt. He's a bread and pizza expert and has written a new book about a particular style of pizza that is starting to trend nationally, Midwest Detroit style, and about another style he believes will soon trend in Charlotte. His book is called Perfect Pan Pizza, Square Pies to Make at Home, from Roman, Sicilian, and Detroit to Grandma Pies and Focaccia. I thought that was bread. Welcome back.
Thank you. You know, focaccia is pizza.
It is.
Unfortunately, American restaurants have turned it into bread.
Oh.
And part of my mission is to reclaim the good name of focaccia.
And that noise you hear in the background is the fan on the oven that that Peter has brought, because we're actually cooking a Roman or a pan?
Doing
what
a Detroit-style pizza, but in a round form today.
And we put it in the oven about 7 minutes ago, and it's just beginning to smell good in here. Mm. Peter's brought along Grant Ahrens, who owns Inizio Pizza. That's a Neapolitan wood-fired pizza place in Charlotte, and who is about to open 8 and Sand Kitchen in South End. That will feature Roman-style pizza, which is the style Peter's predicting big things for. Welcome to the program. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me. Let me just start off by saying this is such a treat. Peter Reinhardt has been an idol for me, so being able to sit here and talk pizza, bread, Roman-style pizza, it's just perfect.
Well, he praises your pizza, too, at Inizio Pizza.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
You're a master baker and an expert in bread. You've written a lot about bread over the years. We've done thousands of shows about bread with you on this program. But you have been, for quite a while now, on this quest for the perfect pizza. What is it about pizza that has you so fascinated?
Yeah, that is the big question. The real question is, what is it about pizza that makes it the most popular food in the world? And it is, and there's got to be a reason. So trying to work it back and say, okay, why does it work? And ultimately, what pizza is dough with something on it.
And when you say pizza, are you talking strictly about Italian pizza, or are you talking about, because we talked years ago about how every culture has its own version of a flatbread.
Correct. And really, pizza is just one of the many names for this flatbread. Basically, my definition of pizza is dough with something on it, sometimes called pizza, sometimes called focaccia. In Italy, they have 4 or 5 different names for a pizza product, schiacciata, sfingiuni. These are all different ways of doing pizza. But then there's quesadillas is another kind of like pizza, dough with something on it. And it always delivers. It always satisfies. And that's really the crux of it, is there's something about dough with something on it that works.
So I was going to ask you how many different styles there might be, but from what you just said, you probably can't come up with a number, can you?
Well, every time I think I've heard of every type, there's another culture, there's an Ethiopian version, an Egyptian version.
So if I take a piece of white bread toast and spread peanut butter on it, is that a pizza?
Well, in a way, and that's interesting that you say that, because the inspiration for this book was based on this insight that a sandwich is a type of a pizza too, because that's dough with something in it instead of on it. And really, they're just related, they're cousins. Again, it comes down to this combination of dough or bread with something else works as ultimately, it's all about flavor.
Yeah.
So it's the perfect flavor delivery system.
Speaking of flavor, when I first went to Italy, the first time I had a piece of pizza, it was revelatory because it was unlike any pizza I had ever had. There was hardly anything on it. Mm-hmm. But it was absolutely delicious, and the mouthfeel was to die for.
Yes.
So how different are the pizzas that we experience mostly in America from where this originated?
Well, I'll start, and I think Grant can add to this, because he has 3 different kinds of pizzerias, you know, focusing on different styles. The American-style pizza, which really came from Naples, so we call it Neapolitan style or influenced. Neapolitan now has taken on a more specific meaning, which is the wood-fired Naples-style pizza, which Inizio does. but also the classic, what I call American pizza or New York style pizza, is also Neapolitan inspired because it's based on that, but with different kind of flour, American cheeses, different things than what you might get in Naples, where it goes back to sort of the pure version. But in the end, all these different styles really depend on the crust. For it to be as memorable as what you just described, right, it starts with the crust. That's why you didn't need a lot of toppings.
You, Grant, have been described as obsessed by pizza. In fact, before
thank you.
Before you had a restaurant, you build your own brick pizza oven in the backyard or something and start experimenting with doughs, various different kinds of dough?
Yeah, no, I definitely didn't build my own. I'm not that skilled with my hands. I can make a good dough, but I definitely can't make a good oven. back in 2012, I had experienced my first Neapolitan-style pizza. Pizza's my favorite food of all time. So it
don't look like it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I eat a ton of it, I promise.
He works out a lot, too.
Okay. I had experienced a high-quality Neapolitan pizza, and so I put myself on a trip to Italy, yeah, where I ate my way through Rome and through Naples, came back home, got a wood-fired oven in my backyard, and started practicing. And I had already been delving into the science and the mechanics of dough and understanding. Something that one of Peter Reinhardt's books said a long time ago that really stood out was the baker or the pizzaiolo's job is to coax flavor from the dough. And that really hit home, and that's really, to this day, what sticks with me. And I think that's the difference between high-quality pizza and just sort of pizza you can find anywhere.
Did you have a culinary background, or were you just a guy who liked pizza and was going
to do? I've worked in restaurants. I didn't go to school. I'm not a chef. I didn't go to school for food, not a chef, but I've been doing pizza for such a long time now, worked in a lot of different restaurants.
So I read that you import your flour and the water you mix with the flour,
true,
from Italy for your Neapolitan pizza.
This is true.
We have to import water to make it right?
So, no, you probably don't have to import water, but with Anizio, I wanted to have something that was very authentic. And just like you add salt to a dough, which helps control fermentation, when you add Italian water, it's very mineral dense. It's not like the water that comes out of the Charlotte City water. So you have a lot more minerals and total dissolved solids, and this helps control fermentation. I wanted to have a dough that really emulated the flavor of what you would get if you traveled to Naples, and that's why we do it.
So you bring in Polselli flour, which I'm told is milled in a village on a hilltop in south-central Italy. What makes that special? What's the difference?
Well, one difference is the way that they source their flour. They're very careful about using non-GMO flours. Also, the way the Italians mill their flour, type 1, type 0, type 00, this is how fine, how much bran is removed from the flour. So it's this very powdery flour. It doesn't absorb as much moisture as like a whole wheat flour would. When you work with it, it's very, very silky. And if you know what you're doing and you can do fermentation properly, mm-hmm, when you eat this dough, it's just pillowy soft. It's got this very thin, crisp layer on the outside. It's been cooked at a very high temperature for a very short period of time. So when it first comes out of the oven, this thin, crisp layer that crackles in your mouth, and then as you tear through the crust, it's just this soft, pillowy experience, and it should have robust flavor and smell.
This seems time and labor intensive just to get the dough part right.
Because it is.
You can't,
yeah,
just mix the flour and the water and pop it in the oven. You got
to
wait.
You can't. Yeah, you need to understand how you're going to bring that flavor out. It's definitely not as simple as throwing it all in a mixer and put that blob in the oven when it comes out. So we actually use a 3-day process where we mix the dough as little as possible. The more that you mix the dough, the more that you break down the glutens, the more that you oxidize the dough. And this is pulling flavor and color out of your dough. So we use time to let the dough come together naturally. And it sits out at room temperature for about a half a day before we put it in a cooler. Then it goes through a cold, slow fermentation for another couple of days. Finally, we pull that out, and we want it to be at room temperature for a couple hours before it even goes in the oven. So that's why at Anizio, we only do pizza, really. I mean, we have some salads, but it's all about the pizza. So there's so much attention to detail that we have to apply just to this one item that we really want to focus on.
And evidently it's all about the dough, because I think both you and Peter Reinhardt have said it's all about the dough.
Yeah, all pizza. It's always about the dough.
And you spend a lot of time experimenting with doughs. And I'm just curious, because after all these years and the millions of pizzerias that there are around the world and the trillions, the uncountable quadrillions of pizza that have been made and bought and consumed over the years, why are the two of you, both you and Peter, still searching for the perfect dough? And will you know when you found it?
That's such a great question. And I think that the pursuit of the perfect dough is really the experience that we're looking for. Tastes are always going to change. The science of flour and fermentation is often going to change what we have access to. So the quality of the ingredients right now are getting better with different strains of wheat, different types of heirloom and heritage grains, and this will affect flavor as we move forward. So I think that the pursuit of the perfect pizza, in fact, helps make future pizzas better.
So the Neapolitan pizza that you produce now at Inizio will be different from the pizza that you're going to do at this new restaurant. Is that correct?
It will absolutely be a different
style. So a different process for the dough, different ingredients, different
flour, different process, different oven, everything. Yeah.
Okay. So Peter has just brought in this Midwest Detroit style pizza that he has just now, this moment in time, finished baking, and it essentially is dough. You're not near a microphone, so I'm going to explain it for you,
yes.
Peter, and you can just yell at me if I'm wrong.
I'm going to put some sauce on. After it comes out of the oven, this is unique.
But you're not near a microphone. So
this smells and looks delicious.
So essentially, this is a piece of dough that you have worked cheese into, and then you have topped it off with cheese, and then you baked it so that the cheese is kind of melted, and now you're topping it off with stripes of tomato sauce.
Fresh tomato sauce.
Why? Hold on for a second.
I'm going to get over
here. You have to do something.
I'm going to sit down.
Sit. We're working on the clock here.
All right, here we go.
All right, so did I describe it accurately?
Yes, and basically, why don't you cut it in squares? Yeah, we'll do squares pieces. So with this style, we call it a red stripe because we put fresh tomato sauce or pizza sauce after it comes out of the oven, although you could bake it on top if you wanted. But I love the contrast of the fresh cold sauce that kind of warms up on the hot pizza with the melted cheese. So you get a lot of different flavor bursts in your mouth. And once again, all this is sort of only is a payoff if the crust delivers.
Did you bring a nice Chianti?
No, but I should have.
Okay. All right. Well,
we're going to put some paper towels out for people to take a slice. It's hot, so don't burn your mouth. But what we're hoping that you'll experience is a little bit of a shatter when you bite into it. The bottom of the crust should be golden brown, kind of caramelized,
and it is
like hot buttered toast. And when you bite into it, it should almost crunch like the best piece of toast you ever had. And then the trick, and this is unique, it's not what you'll see in any pizzeria that I know of yet, except for one place where we actually developed this in Texas, where the dough has cheese embedded in it. So we double cheesed it. Once it rose with the cheese, then we topped it with the cheese. So now you've got a cheese crust and a cheese topping.
You may say that the secret's in the dough, but this sauce is just phenomenal.
Thank you. And it's very simple to make. That's the cool thing about, you know, anything with pizza. It's a simple peasant food. It works. And it's not difficult once you know the tricks.
And
there's just a few tricks.
And this is crispy, buttery. It's decadent. It's delicious.
And no calories.
No.
No fat grams.
Calorie free.
It's amazing.
And there's only very few places in Charlotte that make anything close to it. Jet's Pizza does a Detroit style. There's probably a few others doing square pizzas. But Grant is going to be doing something that's similar and yet different.
Okay. When we come back, we'll talk about what makes this different from Chicago-style pizza, which is also thicker crust, deep dish, and what this whole book is about, which is pan pizzas like this, and what Roman pizzas are versus this Midwest Detroit style, which we're enjoying right now. And boy, I wish the radio audience could taste this, because this is amazing. Okay.
Maybe they will be able to soon.
All right. Eat up, because we have to take a break. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaOfSouthCharlotte.com. It's a little early for pizza, but you can bring it anytime you want to, Peter.
It's never too early never for too pizza, early. Right? No. It's the official breakfast food of college students.
All right. It's not cold this time. It's warm.
Correct.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. Peter Reinhart is here. He's the chef on assignment from Johnson & Wales, who joins us for years and years and years. He has a new book out called Perfect Pan Pizza, Square Pies to Make at Home, from Roman, Sicilian, and Detroit to Grandma Pies, whatever they are, and focaccia. And there'll be a book signing with Peter on Friday evening at 7 at Park Road Books. He's brought along Grant Ahrens, the owner of Inizio Pizza, and about to open 8 and Sand. What's the significance of the title, 8 and Sand Kitchen in South End?
So we're located at the corner of New Bern and the light rail in the South End part of Charlotte. And we're doing a lot out of our kitchen. We're a bakery, we're a restaurant, we're a cafe, we have a bar. And we wanted a name that didn't speak to just one component. So the 8 and Sand is something that our designer, Rachel Martin, came up with, and it is a saying that train crews used to use as a well wishes of sorts. So 8 referring to the 8th gear of the train, speed, and sand for friction on the tracks, so sort of like a safe. So basically a speedy and safe travels as you go about your day.
Okay, so we have, we're enjoying this Midwest Detroit-style pizza. Why does it have that name? Was it developed in Detroit, and how did it come to be developed?
Yeah, it's interesting because in Detroit, I think for years they just called it pizza. It's just, you know, because it became so popular recently, after 70 years from when it was first invented by a former auto worker who, I guess, decided not to work on the line anymore, and he took with him a whole bunch of these blue steel pans that were used essentially on the production line for holding nuts and bolts and stuff like that. And he had these metal pans, and he liked to cook, and he figured out that he could make pizzas in these pans. And it became associated with this style of what some people call square pizza, mm-hmm. even though they're rectangles. And then it was Detroit's little secret for a long, long time. And about 5-6 years ago, it kind of like exploded from the cocoon because everybody's always looking for the next big thing. And I go to a lot of pizza competitions, and I get to be a judge. And suddenly we started to see the appearance of this style of pizza showing up more and more in the competitions.
And you just got back from the annual Pizza Expo in Las Vegas.
Yeah, what a show that is, yeah.
Keynote speaker for that. We have a little war developing here on Twitter and email.
Oh, yeah.
Twitter says, Detroit-style pizza isn't a Detroit thing. We didn't soak up at Tres Leches. How do you say Tres Leches? I don't speak Spanish.
Tres Leches, yeah, like three milk
yes,
type. Yeah.
Yes, we didn't soak a Tres Leches cake in grease, put pepperoni on it, and call it pizza. This is made up in the South. Email says, Detroit pizza, buddies started it,
That's
but
it.
Shields perfected it.
That is also pretty much the prevailing wisdom. It's an opinion, but it's an opinion that a lot of people agree with.
Okay. Now, how does this differ from Chicago style pizza?
Well, Chicago is more of like I call it a casserole style pizza, or in Italy they might call it pizza rustica. It's baked with more of a pastry crust. In fact, what she was describing with the tre leche and with the milk and stuff, there's no milk in this pizza. It's just flour, water, salt, and yeast.
Well, there's plenty of milk in this. It's all cheese.
Well, the cheese, yeah, of course, yeah. I guess there's your tre leche is the cheese.
That's
yeah,
right.
Sorry about that. But this is really a pizza with a traditional dough crust, wheat crust, whereas a Chicago style is a pastry style crust. It's wheat, but it can also be made with cornmeal, and it's filled. It's just thick with filling. Whereas this is not. This has a fair amount of cheese on top and whatever else you want to put on it. And in the book, we offer many versions. I mentioned earlier this sandwich relationship because really the inspiration for most of the original recipes in the book, the ones that I developed as opposed to the Detroit Red Stripe, which is traditional, but I came up with about 25 other versions.
Oh.
They're all inspired, many of them inspired by sandwiches, favorite sandwiches, because like I said, a sandwich and a pizza are so related. So what makes a sandwich work is the same thing that makes pizza work. You've got a flavor delivery system, the crust or a roll, filled with great flavors. And so that we have cheesesteak pizzas and things like that.
You told the Detroit News that Detroit pizza is way too much cheese, way too much dough, way too much oil, but also way too good to stop eating it.
Well, I didn't.
You saved yourself at the last
minute.
That's
what I thought about Detroit pizza before I started making them. I never really was that interested until all of a sudden we came up with this technique. This technique that it's really totally original with the double cheese was a breakthrough for me as well as for the pizza. And I think it could be a game changer because it just elevates it to another level.
So you also say that these pan pizzas are ideal for making at home. Are they any easier or any? Do they turn out any better than ordinary? I don't want to call them ordinary, but what we usually think of as pizza, little thin crust pizzas that you can pick up and make.
The best thing about this style is that it works in a home oven because you don't need the oven to get to be 600 or 700 degrees like a pizzeria has. I bake these at 475 to 500 degrees. Any home oven will work. And so it actually works very well in a home oven. And that's really one of the main differences between what Grant does at Anizio is not something that is easy to do at home.
Well, I was going to say, given the research that you've done and the experimentation that you've done to come up with this crust that you make with imported materials, and you're going to open a new restaurant, why not just expand the same pizza into that new restaurant, into a new part of town? Why come up with a whole new idea, a new concept?
Well, a lot of reasons. One, I love pizza. So having access and giving Charlotte some different styles of pizza that we don't have access to right now. Like Peter said, this style pizza is really coming into its own. I think it's just that pursuit. It's going down that path, experiencing new things, loving it, wanting to bring it to the city. So we're going to be doing a Roman pizza al taglio, and similar to this, but not quite as heavy with the oil and the cheese that drips down the side. It's this light, airy pan-style pizza. It's got these big air pockets. It's typically sold by the slice. You can top it.
And by weight, I was told.
Yes,
traditionally.
Right. In Rome, it's typically sold by the weight. We'll sell it by the each. But yeah, it's a little bit different. It's just as delicious. Something that we're going to be doing that's kind of unique is we're going to be milling some heirloom grains, some heritage grains, and putting that in. So that's a flavor component. That's a health component. And again, something new, something different.
So you say, Peter, that this style, which is relatively unknown, this pan pizza style, in America at least, has the greatest potential for spreading in popularity around the world. Why?
Because the crust is so good. I mean, you can get away with an everyday pizza. I always say there's only two kinds of pizzas. There's good and there's very good. And the very good is maybe 1% of what's out there. It's the memorable pizzas. And the ones that are memorable all have phenomenal, memorable crusts. The key to a Roman style, like they're going to be doing at 8 and San, and these Detroit styles when they're done properly, because they can also be done, you know, at an average level, is that the crust is airy, as Grant said. It has a great crackle to it. And there's something, when you bite into that crust, when it's done well, you go, wow. It has a wow factor that people seek. That's what we really seek when we talk about the search for the perfect pizza, is we're looking for that moment where you go, wow, I didn't know it could be that good.
So the pizzas that I've had in Italy range in style in terms of pizza dough thickness and toppings, but they don't, at least the ones that I had, never approached the kind of stuff that we put on pizza in America. We put the kitchen sink.
We sure do.
On pizzas in America. And what impressed me about the Italian pizza and about this pizza is that it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's not laden with pepperoni and peppers and onions and slices of tomato and mushrooms. It's just bread, cheese, tomato sauce.
Right.
Why is that so good?
Because the bread is the key. Yeah.
So according to Restaurant Business Online, one of the things that pizza eaters are seeking is authenticity. I'm not sure what that means. What they want more authentic pizza offerings. What does that mean to you?
Authenticity has become a buzzword, and it can be a little bit of a MacGuffin, because authenticity does not guarantee the wow. It doesn't guarantee memorableness. But that's what people really want, in my opinion, is the memorableness that they associate with authenticity. And because so many things have been diminished when they become mainstream, that I think people want to go back to how it was when it was so great that it was memorable.
And Restaurant Business Online also sees a growing preference, they say, for Neapolitan pizza. Wood firing has become a must. Ma and Pa restaurants are favored over the chains, and they say the secret is the sauce. I thought it was the dough.
It is. They're wrong.
a little bit of both, but, I mean, but a certainly
good sauce,
the dough.
Like you had a great response to this sauce. A good sauce is important, but you can't save a pizza and make it memorable on just the sauce or the cheese or the fancy toppings.
Yeah.
It can only be interesting.
I think speaking to that authenticity point, a little bit of authenticity comes from the simple ingredients without having to load it up like you referred to a bit ago and throw a whole bunch of stuff on to create flavor, mix a lot of ingredients into your dough to create flavor. You're masking the true nature of how to make pizza great, which is very simple: flour, water, salt, and a good cheese. That's really the only ingredients that you need.
So aside from predicting the ensuing popularity of Roman or pan-style pizzas, what other trends do you see in the making of pizzas? Both of you, because you're both in the biz.
Well, one of the things that Grant's doing, and we're seeing this across the country, is pizza makers have gone from just making pizzas to becoming really interested in bread making and dough making. So Grant, at 8 and Sand, I know that you're going to be making some original artisan breads there as well, right?
Yep, we'll have a full bakery, and we're going to be doing naturally leavened doughs. We'll be milling some heritage grains in-house. We're going to be using that for the pizza, so pizza's one component. But absolutely, for pizza makers that really get bit by that bread bug, and you start going down the rabbit hole and understanding the science, there's just a whole world that opens up, and that is, I think, what steers great pizza is understanding the science and the mechanics of the dough.
Exactly, and the artisan bread movement has really influenced the now what we now call an artisan pizza movement.
So Upserve.com, whoever they are, predicts cauliflower crust is going to be popular, Detroit style, they're right on pace with you, non-tomato-based sauces, unique toppings, and CBD infused pizza, because as we all know, CBD is the cure all for everything.
Yeah, you can't fight it. You can't fight it. We've been waiting 40 years for it to kind of finally happen.
Yeah.
I talked about that in 1969.
It'll be a pizza
at Woodstock.
I guess with this style, you could substitute the oil on the bottom for the CBD oil and see.
You could use the CBD oil. Yeah, and you don't need tomatoes, and the cheeses can vary. Pizza can be just dough. A classic Roman style pizza is just the dough. Yeah. With just a little oil and salt.
So you're on this quest for the perfect pizza. I have to let you go.
Yes.
No, you're gonna leave the pizza because you're not.
I want to hear about the movie.
You're not
too.
Taking that with you. But you're on the quest for the perfect pizza. Have you found it? Where are you on the quest? Where are you on the timeline?
Well, I think that what we're eating here today is a version of is almost perfection. There's a place in Texas, in a town called Frisco, Texas, which is interesting because what makes this style pizza so great is the frico around the edge, the little cheese crust. But Frisco, Texas has a small restaurant where we developed this pizza.
Okay.
And it's called Mashed. And they're the only ones I know that are doing the double cheese method. And then we're going to see this surge of Roman pizzas. Pizzeria Bianco is still the gold standard in Phoenix, Arizona. Pizzeria Mozza in L.A. is still one of the gold standards. Grant was just in L.A. There's some new places. Have you seen anything doing extraordinary work?
We were on a bakery binge, so we didn't specifically eat pizzerias. But
okay. But I know you've been around seeing them. Yeah.
Peter Reinhardt, his new book is called, where is it? Perfect Pan Pizza, Square Pies to Make at Home, from Roman, Sicilian, and Detroit to Grandma Pies. We never talked about that. And you have to come back and talk about Grandma Pies. And focaccia. And Grant Ahrens, the owner of Inizio Pizza. Thank you both for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.